Welcome to our first sermon in our sermon series entitled Transformed, Follow, Love, Invest. Today's sermon title, Transformed. Open your Bible to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and let's begin.
O Lord, you exist in eternal perfection. You are the unchanging change agent. We are creatures of transition. We grow and change, physically, mentally, and spiritually. We recognize an incompleteness in ourselves. Your Holy Spirit prompts us to leave behind our old self as a worn-out coat and become a new self, competent to prove the excellence of your desire for our lives. Please rescue us from damaging conformity so that we can be transformed and think in new ways. In Christ's name, amen. I wonder if you can call up in your mind your earliest memory. Now, I know some of you remember the doctor smacking your butt when you were born, but most of us can't go back that far. I think my first memory is probably first grade. I've seen pictures of myself, and my parents have told me stories, but I don't know if I remember them or I just know they told me that. But the first memory I really have is probably first grade. So I look back and I see myself as that first grader, and I think about all the transitions I've made in my life since then. Way too many to even count. So you kind of try to step on the high spots, or maybe the low spots, all depends on how you look at them. It was a major transformation to go to junior high. Whoever invented junior high ought to be electrocuted tomorrow. Nothing good comes from junior high. Junior high teachers, there is a special place for you in heaven. How different I was in seventh grade than in first grade. The things that mattered to me in first grade didn't seem to matter at all in seventh grade. Then I leap all the way to graduating from high school. My parents were sure it would never happen, and I wondered myself, but sure enough it did. How different I was when I graduated from high school than when I went into seventh grade. Life transformations. And then you get married and you have the big transformation. Children show up. I wasn't ready for that transformation. It wasn't what I thought it would be. Anyone? Shocking! Sharon went from loving me most in the world to not even know why I existed. And then the transformation you have to make when you send your kids off to kindergarten. Then before you know it, they're graduating from high school. And my daughters started saying to me, "But Daddy, I love him." I don't care if you love him or not. I'm disgusted with him. Life transformations. And then grandkids come along. And then if you just can't get out of this place, your grandkids start graduating from high school. Right? And instead of picking up after your kids, you're picking up after your dogs. Life transitions. Yeah, I'm the same soul that I was when I was in first grade. But I've been, that body, brain, and psyche has been through many, many transitions and transformations. It's the nature of life. It's the way it's supposed to be. If we don't make these transformations, we get stuck somewhere, and life isn't what it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be exactly the way I was in seventh grade. I'm supposed to transition physically, mentally, and spiritually. But it turns out life will transition you physically whether you like it or not. It just does it to you. You can try to be healthy and transition well, but life is going to move you along. That hair is falling out whether you like it or not. We don't always transition mentally. I've known people who were 18-year-old minds in 60-year-old bodies. They just never made the mental transformations. And their life doesn't work the way it should. Church, we're supposed to transition. We're supposed to transform spiritually. We're not supposed to be the same soul that we were 20 years ago. Our inner self is supposed to grow up, transition, change its form from one incomplete self to a more and more complete self. And it is the essence of what Christian discipleship is all about. Trying to make the life transformations as we move forward in this very short life we get. So the Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, through the mercy of God, to stand up your body as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God. This is your logical, spiritual service. Let's look at this. Transformations can be encouraged. They can't be demanded. You can't demand the soul of another person to change. You can try, but you'll just frustrate yourself. Paul doesn't even try. He says, I know I can't demand this of you, but I do encourage you to start paying attention to your soul transitions. And then interestingly, he says, I encourage you by the mercy of God. God's mercy, more than his threats, push us to make transformations. God doesn't even threaten us into transformations. He says, my mercy nudges you to change. You get it? The change I'm talking about today, the transformation I'm talking about today, can't be demanded, and it won't happen by a new set of rules. It can be encouraged, and the mercy of God can prompt it. But it also takes something on your side. You have to decide where you take your stand. I translated this word, present yourself, really because it means to stand up. Where are you taking a new stand in life? Where are you taking a new stand? See, when you move from elementary school to junior high, you had to take a new stand in life. Because what worked in sixth grade doesn't work so well in seventh, right? What worked great in seventh grade is an absolute failure in 12th grade. What was perfect for you when you were 18 is absolute failure when you're 30. Like the guy who the greatest year of his life was his high school senior year when he scored a touchdown in football. And he's been reliving that year for the next 50 years. And he'll be an old man sitting somewhere drooling on himself saying, yeah, I scored touchdowns. If the greatest thing you ever did in life you did when you were 18, you got a problem. Church? We take a new stand in life. We move on. And Paul says, here's what I'm asking you. Start paying attention to the stand you're taking in life. Because sometimes you got to let go of this position so you can move to a new position, so you can transition. Something tells me I got to move on. And I want to talk about this spiritually. There are things in our lives that we have to let go of so we can take a new stand in life. The problem is sometimes letting go of these things feels like I'm literally sacrificing myself. And Paul says, you present yourself a living sacrifice. It is an incredible sacrifice to let go of this so I can become this. It is an incredible sacrifice for you to let go of some anger that has characterized you for the last 10 years so you can be free to be a happy person in the next 10 years. But you hold on to that anger so tightly that you can't transition to a new and better life. Do you see what I'm saying? We're supposed to make soul transitions. Sadly, these soul transitions often feel like I'm sacrificing something I don't want to let go of. Maybe it's time to start doubting some things you thought you were absolutely sure of so you can take a new stand in life and look at the future in a different way. Church? But don't be surprised, because all life growth demands sacrifice. You can't grow in anything and not make a sacrifice. Do you get it? There's no such thing as non-sacrificial growth. Growth means I let go of this and grew into this. I had some sweet bell bottoms back in the day. But I had to let them go. Not willingly. I had some awesome Army surplus jackets I just loved. I'd be wearing it today if my wife wouldn't be ashamed to see me, be seen with me in public. Why does it make sense to sacrifice some of these other things, but to not be willing to sacrifice things of the psyche, the true self, so I can move on and make progress and grow as a person? Church? And it turns out that when God sees these self-sacrifices we make so we can take a new position in life, when he sees it, he calls it holy and it pleases him very much. When you make that transformation, God said, I'm pleased. This is the way it's supposed to be. And then Paul says, it's also logical. I know the English says your reasonable service, but the actual Greek word is logikein, from which we get our word logic. Logik, logic. It is a logical, spiritual service to God when I start saying it's time for me to pay attention to the development of my soul and start making the transitions I need to make. It's the only logical approach to serving God. Do you see? Are you with me? So then he says, how do you go about doing this? What is the mechanism for doing this? And the mechanism comes in two commands, two imperatives. Number one, stop being conformed to this age. Number two, be transformed and think in a new way. Let's talk about this. If you really pay attention to your inner self, you admit that life has pushed you into being some things you didn't pick to be and you don't want to be. Everybody here has to say, if you pay attention to your life, I recognize that life pushed me in this way and it got me in a position I don't really like and don't want. I have attitudes I didn't really pick. Life forced them on me. Now, what am I going to do with them? Life molded me in a way I don't like being. I didn't get up one morning and say, I'm going to be this grouchy guy. I never wrote in my journal, beginning today, I groused. Somehow or another, life pushed me. It put pressure on me. It knocked me off the pathway I wanted to be on. So Paul says, you have to stop right now and say, I'm going to start recognize that I'm being molded in ways I don't like, and I'm going to recognize it right now, and I'm going to do something about it. Number one, stop right now being molded. Saying, I don't have to be this way. I don't have to conform to this. Number two, recognize how the past molded you. And number three, ask yourself, who and what is molding me right now in ways that aren't healthy for me? Right now, there are people in your life who are pushing you to be something you don't want to be. Who are they? What is your relationship to them? What can you do about that? It's not just people, it's events. Instead of being molded by someone else, you need to work at changing the form of your own psyche, your own self. It turns out I am not helpless to create a better self. I have the ability to create a better self. And Paul says, stop letting your authentic self be molded by someone else, and you go to work on forming a better self. In our logo, we have the line, real faith, real people, real life. And that line comes out of this. I want to be transformed by a real faith. I want my faith to have an effect on who I am as a person. I don't want my personhood to be this and my faith to be something I do over here that never really changes the kind of guy I am. I want my faith to make me a better man than I would have been if God hadn't taught me to trust him. Church, I want a faith that is real enough to affect my personhood. I want my Christianity to form my character. And then we say, real people. I'm formed by real faith, and I'm formed into a real person. What is a real person? It is an authentic person. A person who says, this is the kind of person I want to be, and I'm living it out in this way. Real people aren't hypocritical. They don't have to be. They have authenticity. They have integrity. They don't need the veil of hypocrisy. And then we say real life. Real faith affects my character. It helps me to be authentic and a man of integrity. And then I get to live a real life, a life that accomplishes something meaningful, a life that has purpose, a life that has dignity, a life that has well-being. Do you see? I want to transition. I want to transition from a faith that doesn't affect me at all to a faith that forms my character. I want to transition from being a hypocritical, unreliable person to a real person who is authentic and has integrity. I want to transition to a life that is meaningful and accomplishes things that have value and not a life that just slips by day after day. Do you get it? It's about the soul. It's about the self. All right, stop being conformed and start forming your life around a pattern that has quality to it. And then he says, you have to think in a new way. Jim Collins wrote a book called Great by Choice. And in it, he has a little paradigm called SMAC. S-M-A-C. So I'm going to talk some SMAC right now. Some religious SMAC. S stands for specific. M stands for methodical, A stands for and C stands for consistent. He said, if you really want to change, you need these three things. You need to be specific, you need to be methodical, and you need to be consistent. All right. So, how do I do that? All right. Specific says, just exactly what thoughts do I want to change? I recognize thought patterns in me that aren't healthy, and I want to specifically say what they are, and I want to replace them with something specific. Okay? It's not enough to say, I just want to think in a new way. You can't get anywhere from there. That's wishing. We're not wishing. We have a strategy. All right. I have to be specific. So, for example, I'll use myself. All right. I have thought patterns that are too harsh. I get in this harsh thought pattern, and it's one harsh thought after another, and I don't like it. I don't want to be that guy. So I specifically want to replace harsh thoughts with a different kind of thought. And so I've chosen to replace harsh thoughts with optimistic thoughts. Okay? So when I recognize a harsh thought, I say, yeah, I recognize that, but I don't think that way anymore. I think this way, and then I force myself to think this other thought. All right? So it's got to be specific. Second of all, it has to be methodical. You have to have a method for doing it. All right. So some years ago, I came up with a method, and I probably have five or six of these little pocket-sized books. This fits perfectly in my pocket or shirt pocket. All right. So when I'm struggling and I'm not on my game, this specific little book, I took the Westminster Confession definition of God, and I broke it up into I can't remember how many thoughts it is. I'll tell you. Should have looked this up before I got up here, huh? I broke it up into 22 separate thoughts. So here's thought number one. There is but one only living and true God. See, that's one thought. I can think that one thought. Then I wrote some verses. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like thine. For you are great and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. All right. When I'm not thinking right, I can break out this little book. It's specific. It is a method. And I can do it consistently because it's easy to carry this little book around. And I have five or six of these. Religious is good, but it doesn't have to be religious. I got one of these little books that's full of quotes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Because it's better to think Ralph Waldo Emerson's interesting thoughts than my ugly ones. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Specific, have a method, and that method you have to be able to do it consistently. I can take this little book anywhere I want. I can stop at a stoplight when traffic's getting on my nerves. I can open up this and it says thought number 20. So as nothing to him is contingent or uncertain. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning and from ancient times what is still to come. And then I can think about that, and I'm not thinking about ramming the idiot in front of me. You see, I'm changing. I have a plan to change the way I'm thinking. I am consciously forcing myself to transform from one thought to another. Do you see? And that's exactly what Paul is saying. I don't want to read Paul like some mysterious thing. If you're real lucky, this just happens to you. I want to read Paul pragmatically. If you want to change, you can say specifically, I want to change the way I'm thinking, and this is my method to do it, and this is the way I'm going to implement it consistently. You have a real chance to transition in a healthy way if you do that. If you listen to this all today and go home and don't do anything, you're going to be the very same person 10 weeks from now as you are right now. If you say, I'm going to take responsibility and I'm going to start transitioning from the person I don't care to be to the person I want to be, in 10 weeks, you have a good chance at changing. Church, do you hear me? Don't continue to let external life make you into a person you don't want to be. Take charge. Be transformed. Take control of what you're thinking. Transformation has a payoff. We get to test and prove that God's desire for us is the highest quality life. All right, now I'm going to hit a hard topic, and I'm going to try to do it with a healthy attitude. Way too many of us are suspicious that God's way is better because what we got pounded into us in our young religious life taught us God's way wasn't better. Do you get it? We are suspicious that God's way is better because religion tried to conform us in a way that made us distrust and doubt whether God's way was really better. Do you see? See, I kind of grew up that if you weren't really embarrassed about being a Christian, you weren't doing it right. Anybody else? Christianity was supposed to be embarrassing, and if it wasn't, you just weren't doing it right. Well, how can you trust God if that's the way it is? It's God's agenda to embarrass me every single day of my life. Well, thanks. It feels real good. Makes it a lot easier to trust you that way. At least I know you want me to feel bad and look dumb. Do you see what I'm saying? I got conformed to an idea that was wrong. And somehow or another, I have to learn to transition from that wrong idea to a right idea. And the way I do it is, I start testing the real God and what he really teaches about living. Look at verse 2 again. Stop being conformed to this age, but be transformed. Think in a new way so that you can test and approve what the good desire of God is. That the desire of God is good, that it's well-pleasing, and that it makes a complete life. All right. Here is a big transition everybody has to make. We have to transition from a basic distrust of God to a basic trust of God. It's the biggest spiritual transition you'll ever make. You go from saying, I'm a little defensive. I want to defend my space. I don't want God to make me do a bunch of stuff I don't want to do. I don't want him to turn me into a nutcase. And I got to say, I've put what God wants to the test and found out that I really like my life better that way. Can I tell you, I like my life better when I'm doing it God's way than when I'm doing it culture's way. I do. I like it better. I'm a happier man. I'm a happier man when I'm more unselfish. I'm a happier man when I'm looking for the best in people. I'm a happier man when I'm trying to serve in the best way I can. My life is richer when it transitions to doing life God's way than when I do it the way culture taught me to do it in the past. Church, when I am transitioning, I end up testing and proving that God's approach to life is the best approach. Do you see? When I'm changing my thinking and saying, I don't think that way anymore. I don't think that way anymore. I think this way. And when I change my thinking, life around me changes. How odd. I can change the whole world by changing how I think about it. I change what I see by changing my thinking. My feelings get caught up in the junk. I change my thinking and my feelings come along. Howard Gardner taught at Harvard, I believe. Last night, a friend of mine said, I thought you said our gardener taught at Harvard. No, not our Howard. Howard Gardner. And he wrote a book called Changing Minds. He really had a specialty in how people think. And he has a chapter in his book on changing minds called Changing Your Own Mind. And in that chapter, listen to what he says. Our minds are changed either because we ourselves want to change them or because something happens in our mental life that warrants a change. That's a pleasant way of saying that you change because you want to, or you get yourself in a position in life where you have to change. Life forces you to change, or you change as a natural part of growing into your best self. Church, I don't want life to force me to change. I don't want to be that dummy. Church, I don't want to keep putting myself into places where life punches me in the face and says, now you have to change, don't you? I want to be ahead of the curve. I want to be transitioning step by step. I want to keep moving on. I want to say, what's next? I want my soul to keep developing into its best self. All right. I want to hit one more myth this morning. Do you believe that the minute you die, somehow or another, your soul miraculously grows up? Or do you believe you can die an immature soul and enter into eternity immature? Let me tell you something. All of life says, if you don't transition, you go into the next phase not ready. You get it? If you don't transition between junior high and high school, your life gets miserable. Huh? Just because you got moved up a grade doesn't mean that you changed to be ready to move up a grade. Church? Many people graduate from high school and they're not ready. They don't have a clue what to do next. They haven't made any transitions and now they're facing a world and they don't know what to do. And somehow or another, life just shuffles them into a spot because they weren't ready. I'm telling you, Christian souls die every day, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, but not mature. And they enter into a world of glory and amazement immature. Church, I don't want to take the remedial classes when I enter into the kingdom of heaven. Huh? I do not want to take the remedial classes. Okay, doc, you're going back to... You should have got this by the time you were 35, but you just wouldn't transition. All right. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that you start paying attention to the stand you're taking in life. It's going to feel like you're sacrificing something. But whatever you have to let go of to become your more authentic self, that's holy and well-pleasing to God, and it is the logical religious thing to do. Pay attention and stop letting life form you into somebody you don't want to be. Come up with a specific, methodical, consistent approach to change your thinking so that your soul grows into the authentic and a person of integrity that you want to be. And when you change your thinking and make this transition, your life starts becoming a living proof that God's way and God's ideas are good. They create a life that is well-pleasing, and they push you to a fuller level of completion. Our dear Heavenly Father, Help us, I pray. May transition make sense to us. May we be willing to have a plan to transition. May we confront where we have been conformed in ways we don't want to be. And then life experience by life experience, may we be transitioning into that fully mature self who's ready to abide with you forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.